a title that the church has given to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Most Holy Lady Theotokos, is the Mother of Life. The Mother of Life. And today, as we commemorate this festal day, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, that, or as it is known in the Eastern Rite, as the Dormition, that is the falling asleep, the death of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, we acknowledge the reality of her title, the Mother of Life, even in the reality, in the face of the reality of her death, of her earthly biological death. For you see, the church teaches that the Blessed Virgin Mary did not die voluntarily, as did her son, our Lord, but rather she died by necessity, since her mortal human nature was indivisibly bound up with the corruption of this life. And of course, at the very heart of that corruption is death. For you see, death is the ancient and universal enemy. Ever since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden, death remains bound up. Death remains bound up in the corruption of this life. Whether one meets his end tragically as an infant or a young person, through sickness, through perhaps a barbarous death at the hands of a criminal or acts of war, whether by accident, by disease, or as elderly persons who peacefully breathe their last in the comfort of their own bed, surrounded by family and loved ones, death will one day visit us all, saving the second coming of Christ in our lifetime. And it is this stark reality of our own mortality that causes the fallen world to consider the very meaning of life in the face of our inevitable end. And so for much of the secular world, there is an embrace of a certain fatalism, of a nihilism, the sense of that life really outside of the years that we walk this earth really have no ultimate meaning. It's sort of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. This past Friday, Subdeacon Stephen and I traveled to St. Patrick Church in Bealeton, Virginia, for the biennial Western Rite Conference that used the words from the Canon of the Mass as the theme, "Remember, O Lord. Remember, O Lord." And as I had been invited to be the homilist that morning at the Mass, I shared this stark contrast between the apparent meaninglessness of life, the certain nihilism, and against the life and the hope and glory of the gospel, a message that is very counter. And this apparent meaninglessness of life in the face of death is probably no more profoundly conveyed in literature than in Shakespeare's play, The Tragedy of Macbeth. And perhaps you remember Macbeth's famous soliloquy. Macbeth, as you may remember, if you go back to your literature English days in high school, Macbeth had been a Scottish general, and he had been given a prophetic word by these witches that he would become king of Scotland. And Macbeth, in his hunger for power, ends up assuming the throne in Scotland, but the English are closing in on him. There's a siege of his castle. And as his end comes near, word comes to him that Lady Macbeth has been killed. And then with that word, he utters that famous soliloquy, "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creep forth in this petty pace from day to day. to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have light at fools, the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. For Macbeth, he speaks very much of the worldview of our secular world. But outside of this life, our life is really ultimately meaningless. That it's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. And after so many generations, we will be no longer remembered. And yet, we cry out, remember, O Lord. We do so not with the idea that God is psychologically deficient, that he's forgetful, but rather we understand the remembrance of God as covenantal language, signifying his faithfulness. To say, remember, O Lord, is to cry out, Lord, and to appeal to his faithfulness. That even as we are unfaithful in that covenant, God remembers. This remembrance language goes all the way back to God's covenant with Noah in Genesis chapter 8 and 9. Scripture records, God remembered Noah and his family and all of creation. You see, creation itself is a covenant, is a sign of covenant between God and his creation, and most particularly between God and man. But in so many ways, we have forgotten. That is, we have failed to be faithful to that covenant. We have turned from God and chosen death instead of life. But we have a mother of life that we celebrate today. And it is she who gave birth to the very essence of life. Him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. She is his mother. She gave him the gift of humanity. The very second person, the divine person of the Trinity, the second person of the divine Trinity, condescended, was conceived in her womb. She became the ark of God, the ark of salvation. And she gave to us him who would be the life of the world. And by doing so, she has become the mother of life. And so today, as we commemorate that time in which she left this world, as I said, the church teaching that she had to die by necessity. Holy tradition tells us that there at her house in Jerusalem, all the apostles had gathered. They had been miraculously translated to the home by her bedside, except for Thomas. And as she passed from this life, they entombed her nearby. And as Thomas finally arrived, they told him about what happened, and he, wanting to see her and to venerate her body inside the tomb, they opened the tomb, and there they discovered that Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, was no longer there, but rather the tomb, instead of being filled with the odor of rottenness and decaying flesh, was filled with the glorious smell of myrrh and flowers. Our Lord bodily assumed the Blessed Theotokos into heaven. In fact, if you were to look at the icon on the back of our bulletin, you see a certain reversal of what we normally see for the Theotokos. The Theotokos is normally depicted as having the child Christ enthroned in her lap. But at the assumption, it is the Lord who enthrones her in his lap. And receiving her as the queen of heaven, who is forever seated and crowned at his right hand, interceding on behalf of humanity. You see, as we have failed to remember, as we have failed to remember God, as we have failed to remember and to choose life, our mother of life, opens the way for our salvation, opens the way for our salvation, and in that she is the prototype of humanity who perfectly remembered her Lord. St. Theodore the Great Ascetic said, "Self-love, love of pleasure, and love of praise banish remembrance of God from the soul. Self-love begets unimaginable evils. And when the remembrance of God is absent, there is a tumult of passions within us." Our gospel lesson this morning is perhaps a little bit peculiar for this day. The canon of Holy Scripture does not record the assumption, but the church in her wisdom chose rather this gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10 when Jesus visited the home of Mary and Martha, who were sisters to Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And so there is automatically the motif of resurrection and Jesus visiting their home there in Bethany near the Mount of Olives. But this is chosen because Martha and Mary, who are receiving our Lord, Martha gets busy with serving and she gets anxious and troubled and basically goes to the Lord and said, "Lord, don't you care that Mary's sitting here and not helping me serve? Make her get up and help me serve." And there was the gentle rebuke of Jesus when he said in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You see, even though this is not the Mary, the mother of our Lord, she bears the name of the Blessed Virgin, the Theotokos. This is really a prefigurement, if you will, an object lesson that Jesus is conveying here and using that name Mary and showing that she has chosen the better part, that she has turned from the troubles of this world, from the things which distract us, that make us anxious, that causes us to lose faith in the promises of God when the whole world around us is going to hell. And we have turned and we become embittered, or we become grumpy, or we start to raise our petitions against the Lord. Why? Why? And so it is that when we come here every Sunday, as the ministers make their confession at the foot of the altar, before we even do our actual confession, we say, the priest begins, "Why art thou so heavy on my soul, and why art thou so disquieted within me?" And then the answer comes, "Oh, put thy trust in God, for I will yet give him thanks, which is the health of my countenance and my God." It is the teaching of Jesus to Martha. Martha, in many ways, we are Marthas. We are troubled. We're distracted by the things of this life. We have failed to remember God. And Jesus said, "Consider Mary. Consider my mother, who has chosen the better part, who has chosen to be perfectly obedient, who has put her faith and her trust in me." For Mary faced the same kinds of trials and sufferings of this life. In fact, I would argue that she perhaps suffered much more than any of us, for her heart was pierced there at Calvary, there at the foot of the cross, as the soldiers pierced the dead body of our Lord, as that blood and water poured forth, the heart of a mother was pierced. And as the body of the dead Lord was brought down, she held him, the dead Christ, in her arms, as she had the child Jesus in her arms at birth and in nursing the child Jesus. There in death, and in the same manner, it would be at her death on this day that our Lord would receive her into his arms. You see, death, while having that great enemy, while having been defeated, forever defeated and trampled down by Christ at the resurrection, the church declaring Christ has trampled down death by death and giving, restoring life to those in a tomb. So while the defeat has happened, we nonetheless, in being freed of the corruption of this life, must pass through that portal. But she is the mother of life. She is the mother of life, and she has been assumed into heaven with her Son, her Lord, our Lord. And there she intercedes on behalf of all of us, such that we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners who have been distracted, who have been unfaithful. Pray for us sinners who have missed the better part as Mary. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And so the church declares, in giving birth you preserved your virginity. In falling asleep you did not forsake the world, O Theotokos. You were translated to life, O Mother of Life. And by your prayers you deliver our souls from death. Neither the tomb nor death could hold the Theotokos, who is constant in prayer and our firm hope in her intercessions. For being the Mother of Life, she was translated to life by the one who dwelt in her virginal womb. Let us give thanks for this day. For in this day we have been given not just a second mother, but a mother of our souls, the mother of life. Let us give thanks for her love, for her Son, our Lord, for her love for each of us in her intercessions on our behalf, that we may also enjoy and receive the promises of God, that gift of eternal life. Let us thank our Lord for the Mother of Life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.